Hey, it's Stu Gatz from the Lebatard Show with Stu Gatz. You're listening to Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone and ESPNChattanooga.com.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Grease, and Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a wonderful afternoon. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome in to Press Row for the first time, J.K. McKay. John McKay Jr., the Director of Football Operations with the Alliance of American Football. J.K., how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing fine. And before we get going, just so you never know who you're going to touch. When I was a toddler, I lived out in Fullerton, California, and my very first favorite team of any kind, the 1974 USC Trojans, my very first sports memory was watching on television the 55-24 thumping of Notre Dame. You were a part of that team, so thank you for all that you did for those Trojans.
That's you're my age group now. I got toddlers that remember me. That's it.
All right, well, listen. This time last week, we had no idea what the AAF was going to provide. It had yet to kick off. What were your hopes for the opening weekend, and did it meet or even exceed your expectations?
I can honestly say that I think it exceeded my expectations in that, you know, we were prepared for something to go wrong, and it really didn't. I thought the quality of football was really good. Our guys competed. We basically sold out of merchandise in all of our home. All the home teams won, and we saw the communities in the four home teams begin to embrace these teams. So I think it, you know, the television numbers were good. I don't know that we could have asked for more.
J.K., we have a Papa John's poll question each day, and on Monday, 79% of our listeners said they watched at least some of the opening weekend of the AAF, and of that 79%, 52% said the quality of play was better than they expected, 27% said it was what they expected, and so nobody answered that they watched it and saw the quality of play be worse than they expected. So I think a lot of people have really liked what happened this opening weekend, but I'm curious, how challenging is it to get good quarterback play? Because when you look at the NFL, you know, not all 32 teams have good starting quarterback play, and they've got 96 quarterbacks in the NFL. Just how challenging will it be to get quality quarterback play, do you think?
Well, I was pleased with our quarterback play, but you're right. That's the number one challenge, and we're aware of that. We created a system. We had a quarterback draft where which was designed to make sure that we didn't have a situation where one team had the three best quarterbacks on their roster. We'd like the best quarterbacks to be playing across the league, and I think we're certainly close to achieving that goal. So the quarterback play has been good. The bottom line is, yeah, there are 90-some quarterbacks in the NFL, but our guys are as good as a lot of them, and it's just a matter of evaluation, and it's so often it's really a matter of getting a chance to play. So you'll see some of our quarterbacks when this year's over. The NFL will be very interested in them, and they weren't interested in them before. So it's giving these guys a chance to play is what this league's all about.
J.K., what has this week been like? I mean, shifting from week one to week two, I think, you know, everything, like you mentioned, the crowds were pretty good, the merchandise, like you mentioned, the ratings. I mean, we all saw the stat and how it fared against the NBA game on ABC. Of course, you had Gary Danielson, who's very familiar to SEC folks, doing the CBS broadcast of the game down in Orlando. But as you shift to week two, I mean, obviously the games move off of CBS to some other networks. How are you, what's kind of the gauge, and what are you sensing, and what are you hoping out of this second weekend?
Well, I think, you know, more of the same. I mean, obviously we're not going to have that big CBS number, but we knew that, and I think we're going to, you know, just try to build in each market. You know, kind of my job on the football side of things is to try to make sure I touch base with each of our coaches and make sure that we're handling our injury situations the right way. And adding players to rosters where we need to. And so we just need to keep more of the same, keep competing, and keep putting a good product on the field. In week one, all four home teams won. So it'll be interesting in my mind to see, does that trend continue this week?
You're listening to J.K. McKay, the Director of Football Operations with the Alliance of American Football. He's the son of legendary former USC and Tampa Bay coach John McKay, the brother of Atlanta Falcons president Rich McKay. You're listening to J.K. here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
I think one of the things that has greatly helped you guys, J.K., and I'm certain you would agree with this, is almost all of your leadership has got recognizable names and a very impressive pedigree in terms of not only football in general, but pro football especially. My question about that is, does Troy Polamalu still have that glorious head of hair?
Yes, he does, and I hate it. It's bothering me. But he does have some hair now. Troy's a great guy. He's really engaged in this league in a kind of cool role. He's basically in charge of player well-being. We want to make sure we provide an amazing opportunity for these players. We take care of them medically and in every way we can. And then in the end of the day, when they're done playing football, we want to, through relationships with sponsors and others, be able to help them make that next step in life in terms of a job beyond the football. So we're trying to kind of take a holistic approach to player wellness, and that's where Troy's focus is.
Well, and let me ask you a follow-up that just popped into my head. I've heard a lot of differing views on this, but the hit that the linebacker, whose name escapes me, got up underneath the chin of the quarterback, there were a lot of fans who took to social media talking about football, how they remembered it. There were a lot of folks saying, is this going backwards in terms of player safety? What kind of conversation did y'all have about that in the AAF league office?
Well, we had a lot, and we had a meeting and studied the tape, and had our head of officials, the guys running our officiating, the two couple guys, it's Mike Pereira and Dean Blandino, and Steve Strimling, all who have long NFL backgrounds. They looked at it really closely, and they determined that it was not a foul, that he didn't lower the helmet. It was a big hit,
right.
Blindside hit, and it was a big hit, but it wasn't a foul. And on top of that, luckily, the player wasn't injured.
Right.
So I didn't feel so bad about, all these highlights going out. You kind of feel bad if you got a guy injured or if there was a foul. But in this case, there wasn't. So it was just a really good football play. And, you guys know football is it can be vicious at times. And that was a big time hit, but a legal one.
J.K., did y'all have any conversations about the possibility of approaching Colin Kaepernick to play in this league, or did you approach him?
To my knowledge, we have not approached Colin Kaepernick, and I don't know that he's reached out to us either. I'm telling you, I don't know that we've had any conversations with him at all.
Now, and I think one of the things that you guys are embracing is the opportunity. The Skycam comes to mind, some of the different things. I know I've heard various interviews with Charlie Ebersol about a lot of the funding comes from Silicon Valley companies who are looking at in-game technology, whether it's uniform or chips or whatever else. What are some of the things that y'all may have that y'all want to introduce that could be some technological things that, whether it's experimental or it's just adding to the viewer side of the game, that you guys may have on the back burner?
Well, we've got a whole group, a separate group of technology people that's what they're working on our app. In-game gaming, real-time gaming possibilities. We have a gaming partner in MGM. We're looking at all kinds of technological innovations that I think are cutting edge. It's beyond me. I'm a football guy, so I'm working more on the football side of things. But in that regard, we think the Sky Judge is really it's something that's, I think someday in the not too distant future, maybe the NFL will look and go, why didn't we do this before? I mean, it just makes perfect sense that you have somebody up there that has a different vantage point, particularly as what we're doing, player safety. I mean, that play was looked at in real time. The play we talked about with Berkovici in the game was looked at in real time by the Sky Judge. And if he thought it was a penalty, even though it wasn't called on the field, he could have called it. But he didn't feel like it was. So that's why he didn't. But I think that's an innovation that makes perfect sense. Some of our rules, I think, part of the cool part for me of being involved in this thing early on with Bill Polian was sitting in a room with Bill just kind of deciding, okay, since we're not going to have any kickoffs, what do you want to do instead of an onside kick? And we kicked around a million different ideas, and we came up with this onside conversion attempt, which I think fans are going to love when we didn't actually see it in the first week, but we will.
You're listening to J.K. McKay, the Director of Football Operations with the Alliance of American Football. J.K., you know, you've got a coach in Mike Martz who took the Rams to the Super Bowl. You've also got Steve Spurrier, who's not only had an unbelievable run in college football, but is also a great personality and a great character. How important is it having Steve Spurrier, the character, as just a name and a face and someone that can and add a lot of positives to the start of your league?
Well, he was one of the first guys we called when we started talking about hiring head coaches because he's such a good fit for Orlando. And as an aside, amazingly enough, when you were a toddler, I was catching passes
yeah.
to Steve Spurrier in Tampa Bay. So in 1976, not very many of them, but a few.
When he was upright.
it works out. He's perfect for this league. He's great. He's done a great job. We brought in the longtime GM in the NFL, Tim Ruskell, to help him on the personnel side of things, and they're doing it. They're off to a great start, obviously. And he's always going to be a great television. He's just interesting.
All right, and it's no secret we've gone a long time with just the NFL, and now you've got the AAF, and we all know that the XFL's coming. There are other leagues that are coming. With other leagues on the horizon, how much are you paying attention to those, and how much of an advantage do you believe you guys have for being first out of the gate and being able to set the tone on so many different things?
Well, I think we clearly do have an advantage. We've already made the investment. It's an enormous investment to get to your first game, and we're there. I don't know anything about, frankly, those other leagues. I mean, I worked for Vince McMahon years ago, and I like Vince. I don't know what they're doing. And the other leagues out there, I don't know, and whether they ever actually compete with us, I just don't know. So we're so focused on week two right now that I'm not worried about anything else.
All right, I got one more that I have to ask you because your father was comedy gold, and every time an NFL Films coaching segment comes up, he was just a genius. Was he funnier at the breakfast table than he was on the sideline?
He was hilarious at the dinner table. We didn't have much of a breakfast table, but we had a dinner table, and he was as good as it gets. He was as a football coach, he was tough. Having played for him, he was tough. He kind of ruled through intimidation and fear was the way he motivated. But he was a really sharp. You know, he's a classic line that. When I played for him back in Tampa, we were so bad at one point after a really bad game. A reporter asked him, "What do you think of your team's execution?" He said, "I'm in favor of it."
That is the classic.
He was very quick-witted that way, and it was interesting every night around the dinner table.
Well, listen, J.K., thank you so much for taking the time. We look forward to you expanding your league to Chattanooga next year for that ninth franchise. We're already looking forward to that.
You got it.
But listen, thank you so much. Congratulations on the great start that the AAF's off to, and best of luck to continued success. And thank you so much for joining us here on Press Row.
Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, J.K. McKay, the Director of Football Operations with the AAF, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.